The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell, and off we go. What's going on, boys? How about
what's
Jose
good? What's
Altuve?
Good?
Jose Altuve back. That's what's good.
That was nice. It's nice to have Altuve back. And I love that the Astros. It's funny. You know how I found out was the social media account. They had a video. They have a Altuve returns video. You know, they put together these. It's amazing what these groups are able to do quickly. They had a social media account said Altuve's back or something like that. He's back, and it's got a whole video with music where Jose Altuve's making plays. It's him standing alone. It's it's a whole thing.
Yeah,
it was like a whole thing that Jose Altuve's been back. But when you think, I mean, he's been gone for the better part of April. It's kind of a big deal. He's been gone for quite a while, and their record has suffered because.
Well, look at how much different they looked with him out there, right?
Oh, night and day.
I mean, coming up with big hits, three hits, a couple RBIs, scoring runs, scoring a run. I mean, he was just so fun to watch him. Now, this is the lineup, right? How much deeper it is. If Kyle Tucker ever decides that he's going to hit this year, if he ever decides to actually swing with some authority at a pitch, then it's going to be really, really unbelievable 1-7. I mean, because this is a lineup that can and can continue to do damage. This is the lineup right here.
Yeah.
Altuve, Brantley, Bregman, Alvarez, Yuli, then Correa, then Tucker, Straw, and Maldonado. This is the lineup. Now, this is fun. That was good to get back to .500 ball. They look like a good team. Urquidy pitched pretty well. 6 innings, 5 hits. 2 earned runs, gave up a couple solo shots, no big deal, and the Astros come up with the win. That looks like a baseball team right there. That's fun.
Yeah, it was fun to have. It was fun to have clutch hitting and just it was fun to see Altuve back in the lineup doing something right off the bat. I mean, that's something we haven't really. If you look at the nature, I mean, typically when guys have missed this much time, you just don't expect much from them for the first week or so, and to come out like he came out. Was a good sign. Now you're beating the Seattle team, you know that's a pretty frisky team.
Yeah,
I don't know if you noticed or not, but the Astros are in last place in their own division.
Yeah,
they're in last place. We're like, oh, Seattle. Seattle is, and I thought this about them last year. They had a little grit to them last year. They just had young players, but you're looking up right now. You're 11-11. You're looking up. And
they're not in last place. The Rangers are in last place.
Oh, did they just take over?
No, they've been in last place. The Rangers are 9-14. They're 2.5 games behind the Astros.
Well, what was I looking at?
I don't know.
I thought the Astros were in last
place.
They
were a couple, I think about 3 or 4 days ago. They were.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. The Rangers been on that big a losing streak?
Well, the Rangers suck. I don't know if you heard.
Yeah.
They're 5-5 over the last. No, the Rangers just suck. No, they've lost 4 in a row.
So, yeah. Okay, that's it. Because Astros were in last place when I saw that like 3 days ago.
Yeah.
And I think they've lost 3 in a row. Here's the thing, though. The Astros have got to hit a run now. They got to hit a run. You just can't be play 500 ball for a little bit, make incremental moves. You got to reestablish yourself as one of the formidable teams in the AL, and that's going to mean it's going to take a run over 10 games, 8-2. What are they, not even 7-3. Let's get 8-2 going, and go from there.
Well, you throw Javier tonight, and then you got Greinke, and then you got an early game on Thursday, getaway game, and then off to Tampa, and then off to the Yankees. So
you good with Altuve hitting in the one hole?
Oh yeah,
I'm fine with it. I thought they might stick with Correa just because of how many hitters they have, and. But
I think they like Bregman 3 and Alvarez 4.
That's what I think it is. I don't think they want to mess with the middle of the lineup.
That's good stuff. So 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. 713-780-3776.
The big news?
The big news is that the Astros won.
And no, Abreu had an outing where he didn't give up a run.
Oh, that's nice. That is nice.
Yeah, the bullpen didn't give up any runs.
Yeah. How about that?
That's a big deal. The bullpen gave up no home runs. Urquidy got tagged up for a couple solos, but those were the only two runs. But, the bullpen didn't give up a run. Is that the first time in 2 years?
Yeah. That's the first time.
Bullpen's had a clean sheet.
It's a record. It's a record-setting bullpen night. They only gave up two hits and no runs. So it was a wonderful day across the board. No question about that. 713-780-3776. Completely different. So go to 92.5. Apparently it's too sunny out or something if you're having problems at 97.5.
Oh, good.
Go to 92.5 if you're having those problems. Apparently there's another station that's stepping on us, which happens only all the time. We have to get, if we can, we're going to get them canceled. That's what we're attempting to do, is get that station canceled. And if you're a cancel culture, get out there. And get on Twitter and tell them to
who are
get
we canceling?
Off. We're canceling whatever that station. Well,
give us a name.
I have no idea who it is. I have no idea. But it's a country reason. Station that steps on us.
Country stations are canceled.
Yeah. Oh, no. Country stations will be canceled. Don't worry about it.
We got a problematic country station in, what is it, Missouri? Are they the ones?
No, it's West Texas, I think.
Oh, it's West Texas. I think so, I thought it was further north.
Is it?
Yeah. I like that they're always trying to just turn up their little... Hey, let's just see. Just turn up the stuff. Just turn up real quick. Hey.
So
I've already said this before. I think David Gow is too nice. David Gow and Todd, they file motions or whatever they do.
They do.
Oh, excuse me, FCC. Excuse me. It appears as though someone is stepping on our signal, and it appears as though, you know what I do? I can tell you this. If you've watched Breaking Bad, you know what you do. You send somebody out there. And they have a little meeting and greeting with them, and then no one gets their signal stepped on anymore. You're seeing The Sopranos. There's a number of shows you can watch.
Uh-huh.
The good guy stuff where you're like, excuse me, FCC, I was curious if you could help us to no longer have this this travesty happen to us. We would very much like, and here's what I'd say, well, we'll send a couple of twin brothers out there after you, and maybe they got some stuff with them. And we'll see if we can't figure this out.
Uh-huh. Let's go.
Nathan called in and said it's a station in Waco, 97.5 in Waco, an iHeart station.
Is that it?
Once again, nothing valuable comes out of Waco.
Nothing.
That's why Kim Mulkey just left.
No, it's out of Waco.
Yes.
That's stepping on it.
That's what he said.
That's an easy
I told you it was West Texas.
That's an easy fix.
Well, it's West.
That trip up to Waco will take no time at all.
Northern Texas. West
take
Eastern.
No time at all to get up to Waco and make some things happen.
Right. No.
We can get that taken care of.
Yeah, it's West Eastern.
You just got to send a couple people, a couple associates, just to go have a discussion with whoever's running the station. That's all.
So,
no big deal. Just, hey, we'd like to have a quick meet with you in the parking lot here.
So anything happened yesterday draft-wise?
Kyle Shanahan.
It's kind of official.
He can't hear you.
I was going to say Kyle Shanahan made news.
Yeah, Kyle Shanahan made news by saying
that he doesn't think that he's not sure who will be alive. Yeah, he's not sure anyone will be alive on Sunday. So,
well, he doesn't want you to. He doesn't want anybody to know. He doesn't want. He made a comment that too many people. What was his comment? Like, there's too many people who could be hurt by this or something. Something very strange where he didn't want to. I couldn't understand what it meant. Like, there's too many people involved here. I didn't know if that meant he's keeping it secret so that it allows other teams to make their moves and trades with I can tell you this much. There's already Pro Football Focus screen captured a tweet by the Chargers social media account that they deleted quickly that looked to be announcing a trade between 13 and 11, the Chargers and the Giants. I talked to an NFC team yesterday that said, yeah, we're probably trading back. I said, what do you – You think you'll be able to get one? No, we've already got a trade. We're ready. And I said, how are people trading already when they don't even know the board? I said, this is unlike anything we've seen. People have their board set. There are so many players who are going to lose ground because of injury concerns. The medicals, this is the most medical issues in the history of the draft. Never have they seen this many medicals. And here's the problem. A lot of these medicals would get a second retest or recheck in April, but this is April. So now this medical test in April, they don't, you know, some of them are issues that would need to be looked at by another doctor or a specialist. They don't have time now. The teams can't do that. So now you have guys like Aziz Ojulari, who's got a shoulder issue. Now it's just considered a medical red flag. They don't have the time to go back and visit with their own team specialists, and let's get Dr. Lowe on this. Let's get Dr. Not Varner, but whoever the shoulder doctor I saw, I'm blanking out his name, the best one in Houston, the one that the Rockets or the Astros have used for years. Let's get all these, you know, let's go get them to our specialists when they come down here for the 30-man visit. There's no 30-man visits. So all these guys, there are so many this year. And some of them may not fall, but there are so many players with medical red flags this year. This team I talked to said it's unbelievable. If you don't have one, you have Peyton Turner is going to benefit from this. He's going to get pushed up the draft because a lot of these pass rushers have medical stuff, and he doesn't. He's got a toe, what I was told. He's got toe, but it's nothing that's serious, and so he could get pushed way up the draft to the early second round.
Yeah. You mean these guys are falling all the way out and into the third round with their medicals?
Dr. Lintner, yeah, thanks.
Yeah, Dr. Lintner.
Yeah, a lot of them are falling all the way out because they just don't have the teams don't have the ability to recheck them with specialists. They got the combine medicals, like, okay, here's what it says. Like, okay, well, now what? Nothing, because you can't fly them in. You can't get your doctors with your own doctors, you know, a second look, your specialist with these guys. And so now the teams are having to decide if there are medicals that they just aren't going to take a chance with. This is why Caleb Farley may just fall completely out of the first round, because he's got a back injury, and he had a back surgery, and he's had two of them, and they can't recheck him. So this is going to have a major impact on the draft this year. Some of the names that you may have some people, like I said, Marshall from LSU, he's going to fall. I think Barmore's going to fall. Barmore's more than just, I think he's got medical, but it's more than that for him. You're going to see a lot of guys fall. You'll see guys who, but then again, I was told of a couple of players who will not fall out of the first round because they're just too good. And I said, yeah, but what about all the stuff? Like, no, too good.
Micah Parsons for one.
Micah Parsons ain't falling out of the first. Jalen Phillips isn't falling out of the first. Multiple concussions. Multiple wrist injuries, more than one, some other stuff, and I was told just not going to fall.
He's just too good.
He's not going to fall out of the first.
All right, 712 ESPN 97.5. When we come back, some interesting options for the Texans. See what you think of them, Lance, at number 67, and some teams that have been interested, or were interested anyway, in Deshaun. When we come back, don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. Apparently, according to John McClain, these eight teams showed interest in trading for Deshaun Watson prior to the allegations. The Jets, the Dolphins, the Panthers, the Broncos, 49ers, Patriots, Bears, and the Washington football team. All the usual suspects, right? I mean, all of those teams need a quarterback. All of those teams are in the... I mean, this is the... This, I don't know that this is very revealing. They showed interest in trading for Deshaun Watson. I could certainly see that. The Texans were hoping to get three first-round picks, a couple second-rounders, a defensive starter for Watson. I think that's John McClain, what John McClain is asserting and assuming. I don't know. Yeah, you know Nick Caserio isn't saying anything, so I don't know what the Texans were. Yeah, you hope, you wish in one hand, three first-rounders, two second-rounders, and a defensive starter. Okay. Yeah. Now, I don't think you get a loaf of bread for him. It's changed one. The 180 that this thing has done is unbelievable.
It'll come back.
It'll come back. It will come back.
You don't you don't sell your stock low.
No. So now the Texans are selecting 67th because of their wonderful trades and everything that is going on. Sarah Barshop put out an article.
I don't think they'll draft. I was thinking about this. I want to say they'll trade back. But there's going to be, if they trade back, it won't be too far, because there's going to be some pretty good talent
yeah.
in that early third.
So accumulating fifth rounders, I mean, is really...
No, but if you trade back, if you got a list of eight players you have with the same grade, and they're all on the board, then why would you not trade back seven spots, even eight spots? Your eight are not going to be gone.
Yeah, but what do you... Okay, let's say you're 67 and 75 says they want 67. You pick up a fourth.
If you went from 67 to 75, you pick up a fourth.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another...
That's another body.
Another starter for you.
Maybe. It's another body.
But it's a deep draft. The thing is, teams are going to be trying to get out of the first round at the back end because the strength in this draft is round two to round four. That's the strength of the draft. There's starters in there that you don't have to pay the big money to.
Let's say they're picking 67th. And let's say Tylan Wallace, Nico Collins, and Dyami Brown are all there.
Man, it's hard. Then Tylan's got a little bit of a medical, too. Hell, everybody does.
Everybody has a medical. Tylan Wallace so out of Oklahoma State, me, Michigan. Michigan's Nico
Tylan
Collins.
To me is so he doesn't have the speed that Nico and Dyami have. They're both bigger than Tylan Wallace. He plays big in the air. Nico is more of a Gary Kubiak-style wide receiver, meaning he needs to run those routes that extend through the field, and they're kind of layered routes. Dyami Brown, to me, doesn't have great hands. I'd probably say Nico Collins, followed by Tylan Wallace, followed by Dyami Brown.
Okay. Kamal Kuiper has the Texans taken. Dwayne Eskridge.
Oh, yeah. He's a burner, but he's tiny. He's small. He's like 5'9 and 170-something pounds.
Slot guy.
Well, no, he plays outside. I mean, that's my problem with him, though. His hands aren't great, and he's kind of smallish. I don't want those guys. Listen, I don't want fast guys who are 5'9" anymore. No thanks. I want to get me the 6-footers plus. I don't think Dwayne Eskridge would be a Texan. I don't think he fits. I don't know what the mold is actually anymore. I have no idea.
Well, Kuiper says he's a slot guy. He can be a key contributor to
Kuiper
the return.
Kuiper had Jalen Mayfield going on a first. I can't listen to that nonsense.
But they've already got a slot receiver.
He'll
in
go in
Randall
the third.
Cobb.
Yeah, Randall Cobb and Kiki QT and Brandon Cooks.
You got enough of those guys.
You got enough small, fast guys from the slot.
Enough of that. How about these corners? Elijah Molden from Washington.
He's
Iafatu Malifonu. Yeah, from Syracuse.
Bing. Don't even read anybody else.
That's it.
If he gets there, he'll be the pick. Long limbed, tough. Great tester. Elijah Molden is a nickel corner, basically. He's super smart. He plays like Tyrann Mathieu, which I love. He ran 4.6. He's got short arms. He's kind of a corner, kind of a safety. He's really kind of a nickel player. The other one is an outside corner who's over 6 feet tall with long arms, and he's tough. Like it's a no-brainer. One guy's an outside corner.
Why is he still going to be there at 67?
He's probably not. No. But in your scenario,
yeah.
Then I want him.
Yeah.
If he's there.
Or Aaron Robinson.
Yeah, not going to be there, but I'd take
UCF.
Him too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about Those Sean? They said Sean Wade could be that pick.
Ooh, gross. Sean Wade's not going until the fifth.
How about Sean Wade?
Sean Wade took on so much water this year. He was chasing people all the time. He looked slow. He didn't compete in the playoffs. When he got beat, he just kind of quit. Like, he got his ass kicked in the playoffs. Just badly. By Alabama, the best players. Sean Wade had a disgraceful year relative to being a top draft prospect. It was awful. It was awful. And he didn't look very competitive in doing it. He's a good workout guy who has bad tape for really the last 2 years, and he didn't look competitive. No thanks.
Yeah.
I'm not interested. Nick Caserio drafts him in the third, then he doesn't know what he's doing.
How long is it going to take for Kellen Mond to get off the board?
I think early third, although I'm putting a 2-3 on it. Because I think he could go as early as the second. But I think early third. Figuring out who the... Davis Mills, if he's only had 11 starts from Stanford. He was the top quarterback in the nation coming out. Or at least top pocket passer in the nation. He's a 5-star. Been hurt for multiple years. This is his first year as a full-time starter. Well, this year, and then he had some starts before he got hurt. So he has 11 total starts. And he's got a shoulder issue, too, because everybody does. But, see, it's not just me, guys. Everybody has shoulder
issues. Well, maybe,
issues.
Have you been around those
all
guys?
All the athletes have shoulder issues.
Did you rub shoulders with them?
All the athletes have
do
shoulder
Do you think
issues.
You should get arrested for knowingly spreading. Giving athletes shoulder issues?
Spreading
everybody
shoulder herpes?
Has
did,
shoulder
did
issues.
They fall off ladders, or were they actually playing football when they got their shoulder issues?
You know, a lot of guys use ladders
actually,
now
we don't
and brooms.
Know. Actually,
a lot of guys use
know.
Ladders and brooms when they're working out.
That's
yeah,
true.
I don't yeah. know. They could have fallen off because it's hard to stay yeah. on a ladder.
Yeah.
But
is it?
Yeah, when some of the
no,
core
exercises,
I was doing a core thing and a core exercise, that's
core
the same
thing.
Kind of deal.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So he, no, basically he's, who were we talking about just now?
We were talking about, you were talking about Davis Mills, which yeah. no one else was.
Well, Davis Mills, the guy who could be the next one off the board.
It was, the question was about Kellen Mond, but
well,
okay.
But Kellen Mond, Kyle Trask, and Davis Mills are the next guy. So we don't know who's going to go off the board first out of those three. There's an outside chance it will be. You know, some people are throwing Davis Mills in the first round, so you might want to know him for people to snare an extra fifth year on him.
Yeah.
No, I one can of those say. Dumb quarterback things that people do. Like, let's take a guy who's not a first rounder, let's put him in the first round because we get an extra year from him.
The reason I ask is I wonder if the Texans, in any way, in the third or fourth round, if they grab fourth round or fifth round, grab one of these quarterbacks.
I don't think they'll be there in the fourth. I don't think
three. These guys, but, you know, one of somebody.
No, but I don't think any of these players are going to be there in the fourth round. They'll yeah, be. There. I think they're getting drafted.
But Sam Ehlinger will be around.
Ugh.
I was told Sam Ehlinger is probably undraftable.
Why would you want that?
I'm just saying he's going to be around.
I said, yeah, this is exactly true. What I asked. I said, Sam Ehlinger, fifth or sixth for a team who I work with the getting the draft slot in. He goes, ooh, that's too rich for me. I mean, I make him 7 PFA. I said, so you think he's undraftable? He goes, yeah, we're not draft. I mean, we'd like a quarterback, and he's...
He's not really one of those.
I said, do you see him as something else? He goes, no, he's just not a player.
That's pretty much.
Like, okay, well, I won't ask any more about Sam Ehlinger. I said, let me move him to 6th, 7th. I don't want to put 7 PFA on him. He's like, Lance, you could have you could have 8 quarterbacks drafted, and that may be it this year. Like, after Mon, I said, so the last quarterback could be drafted in the 3rd round? He goes, yeah, unless the Raiders draft Ian Book in the 4th, which is the rumor.
Ugh.
I said, this, what? Ian Peterman? There's no chance they draft him in the 4th. Like,
poor Ian Book. You're putting Ian Peterman.
He's 6 feet tall, and he's got a pop gun arm. Oh. And then I was told, Raiders 4th round could look good for him.
What? Gruden thinks he's his next Rich Gannon or something? What's
so,
that about? Thank you. Thank you.
Rich Gannon from Minnesota, or Gannon from the Raiders?
Do you know who else he likes? Nathan Peterman, who he brought into the Raiders because he did quarterback camp, and he loved Johnny Manziel. Loved Johnny Manziel. He has a thing for little quarterbacks.
Small yeah. quarterbacks who got to do it on guile.
Wiggle around and
like Ian Book and Rich Gannon. That's what he's looking for.
How many guile quarterbacks make it in the league? I mean, Kyler Murray's not a guile quarterback.
No, he's
got
uber
talent.
Athletic.
Russell Wilson's not a guile quarterback. He's got talent.
Well, name the young quarterback that Gruden's ever developed.
Like, I can't name one.
As a head coach.
He had the big season he got an MVP season out of Rich Gannon. And I think he's looking for his next Rich Gannon all the time.
But he realizes Rich Gannon had gone through years of failure before he reached that point.
But you know what? It's kind of like Ryan Fitzpatrick winning an MVP. It was really, it's almost the same equivalent to Ryan Fitzpatrick winning an MVP. No one had Rich Gannon winning it. But the difference was he employed a spread that teams weren't ready for.
Yeah.
So they were spreading it with Rich Gannon, letting him run. And so he kind of introduced something new.
713-780-3776. 727, TJ, we get you in on the other side. 713-780-3776. If you've got draft questions, we've also got, and tomorrow we'll do them, but we've got all kinds of prop bets for the draft. We're going to do it out of Wildcat. We're going to be at Wildcat tomorrow for our occasional golf tournament.
My last mock is due tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
At noon, so I may just have it ready for the show.
Ooh, that's going to be so fun.
You know how dumb you're going to be?
Yes.
You're going to look to people? What?
Can everyone please make a comment on Lance's mock draft?
Particularly if he mocks a guy to your team that you don't like.
Yes.
Let him have it.
No, let him just open up fire.
Yeah, no,
just
open up fire.
Just
open up
on him.
Fire on
that,
me.
Yes, that is the best. Goes, okay, we will read the comments. Please put it out today so we can have it tomorrow. Put it out as soon as possible. 727 ESPN 97.5. Put the generator on, Lance.
Generator Supercenter. Well, you don't have to put anything on. Once you've got a generator taken care of and once you've got it installed, you have an automatic standby generator. When your power goes off, your power comes back on, and that's thanks to the generator. And obviously, Houston is going crazy over the generators because despite the fact that I was telling you this before the big freeze, many people didn't listen, and now they are listening, and they do want to make sure they have their generator. And so what's happened is Generator Supercenter is just overrun with business, and that's good for you because if you're looking for work as a technician, they're hiring. They're hiring people to install generators. They're hiring helpers for the installers. They're hiring salespeople. There is work to be had at Generator Supercenter. If you're listening to us anywhere near College Station or Beaumont or obviously here in Houston in the Tomball area, they have locations in those areas. So make sure that you go to GeneratorSupercenter.com, contact them and say, hey, I heard you guys have work. I'd like to find out more about it, and they'll help you out. Of course, if you want a generator, you can make that same phone call, and they can get you taken care of with a free estimate. And before you know it, your house will always have power. Thanks to Generator Supercenter.
If you can't get enough of your favorite ESPN 97.5 show, we've got just the thing for you. And it's not f***ing safe for work.
Won't somebody please think of the children?
For all the uncensored interaction, head over to twitch.tv/ESPN97.5.
Say what?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 at 7:30. Bottom of the hour. Shortest breaks in the world. Shortest breaks in the world.
Hey, we got a Nick Saban thing that I want to play for you a little bit later.
We'll do
it's
that.
Good. Yeah. Nick has such great. Well, see, there's a world of that the draft. Scouts live in, evaluators and coaches. It's a world of honesty. It's not a world of. You realize that when you see the front that is people being careful, trying to say things that curry them favor and all this stuff. There's a level of honesty in draft rooms. Once you're in, and doesn't matter who you are, how old you are, what your race is, there is no sensitivities. They just say, this is who the guy is, this is what he is, and that's that. And we need to know, are we willing to live with this or not? This guy's a great guy, he's a church guy, he's this, that, he's other, but he can't play football. And, you know, we'd love to have the great guy in the building, but he can't cover. So too bad. And unfortunately, I do think potentially that still, players dealing with depression, or I still think that's something that is. I still think that's something that is concerning to NFL teams. More and more younger people deal with that, and I think that NFL teams still probably have a ways to go before they're okay with that completely. So that's something to keep in mind too, because I know a player that's probably going to fall because of that, and like I said, they just don't take any. They have conversations in these rooms where they may say, "Okay, this guy's a total turd. Are we still willing to pick him, and where?" And they have to read down. These are all the things this guy's done, and a lot of them don't know. A lot of people, for example, I'll tell you one thing. This isn't that this guy's a total turd. It's kind of the opposite. Some guys make mistakes, and they make mistakes like, okay, so. Mac Jones. So I had a talk with somebody who was at Alabama's Pro Day, and their whole thing was, and this is going to be, if this were Justin Fields, somebody would lose their mind. Mac Jones would just go, oh, that makes sense, because it actually makes sense no matter what your race is as a quarterback. Their issue with Mac Jones, and this may seem silly, is they just thought he was too happy-go-lucky and that he didn't have enough, I don't want to say the word, but he didn't have enough attitude. He didn't have enough arrogance. And the thought is you want a guy with a little bit of arrogance at that quarterback position. It didn't mean he couldn't be a good quarterback, but he's one of those guys who would fit in great with these team added. Like, he's not a guy that when the going gets tough, he's an arrogant guy that can get in somebody's face. Like, Tom Brady has got some arrogance, right? The Peyton Manning. I mean, I think the really good quarterbacks have a little level of arrogance. And sometimes it turns into cockiness, and there's guys who have arrogance who are cocky and they're not any good. So that's not necessarily an automatic. But do you want to know what's where? How many DUIs does Mac Jones have? Do you know?
One.
Okay. How many does Twitter think he has?
Seven.
Yeah. I was told he had three.
You were told he had three. I've heard two.
And he stole a dog on one of the trips.
I got one. I talked to multiple teams, but Twitter allowed it to be two. So it's two now to the general public, and I had to shut that down yesterday on Around the NFL Network. Greg Rosenthal from NFL.com, I asked a question. They brought up Mac Jones' stuff, and I said, okay, how many DUIs does he have? He said, two. I said, no, he has one. But for some reason, this has been allowed to live on. It's just, but these are the questions they'll talk about. Okay, how old was he? What did he do? What's he done since then? And it's all been vetted, and there's not a thought that he has a drinking problem. There's not, because if a guy has a drinking problem, they want to know. You can have a DUI in 2018 and you haven't had one since then, but if somebody, one of your teammates says, yeah, this guy has a drinking issue, he drinks all the time, they're finding that stuff out about you. There's a player who's got an issue with having sex with somebody who was underage when he was in high school. That's going to potentially knock him out of the entire draft.
Mm.
And he's a day two player. And I'm not sure if it's out publicly or not yet. It will be, because the thought is that she's going to bring up charges against, or she's going to bring it up against him now. So a player who's supposed to be a day two guy may fall completely out of the draft. You remember when Lyle Collins,
yep,
there was a thought that they wanted to question him if he was involved in the murder of what, his ex or
his ex
current girlfriend or whatever
was
it was.
A baby mama.
She was, yeah. And he fell out of the draft.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't get the questions answered fast enough. Once the questions were answered, everyone's like, oh boy, here's a first or second round pick. And the Cowboys swooped in there, mm-hmm, and they picked up what amounted to a second round offensive lineman, first or second, and they got him as an undrafted free agent. But when that kind of stuff's out there, they don't mess around. So there's none of this bull crapping around with, we don't hurt somebody's feelings. No, we don't have real conversations to figure out who these guys are and then who we are. Because a lot of teams who act like they're high and mighty are willing to take some chances if you can really play. Imagine that. I know that's not something that's going to shock you. That's in every line of sports.
Absolutely. Well, let's get TJ in here. We said to get him on this side. What do you say, TJ? How are you?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing, man?
Hey, I don't know if y'all seen that article that Kevin Colbert had put out, and he was saying that if guys are equal value, he's going to take the guy that opted in and didn't opt out. Is that like the tone setter around the league? I know, Lance, you're kind of working for NFL Network. I just wanted to get your opinion about that, because he was saying he doesn't know how the guy's going to be missing a year of football.
Yep.
I just wanted to hang up and get you guys' take on that.
Yeah, that's 100% accurate what you said. That's exactly what he said. He just said, if it's equal, he said, I'm not saying we're not going to draft a guy who opted out. He said, I can't say something like that. He said, but if there are two guys who are equal and one opted out of the season, we're going to take the guy who played. And he said, it's simple. We just don't. He said, it's not personality, this or that. We don't know how a guy who missed an entire season of football is going to respond. He said, it's a tough sport, and to miss an entire season is not easy. And so we'd rather have a guy with, you know, that we know more about, basically an extra year of tape and a guy who's kept playing football. The opt-outs are going to get hurt, especially the opt-outs in the first round. Those guys aren't going to be hurt. Michael Parsons is fine. Jamar Chase is fine. They're special players. Beyond that, you know, Jamie Newman, who was supposed to go to Georgia, unless he really had some severe issues with potential COVID, he made a massive mistake. He's probably not getting drafted now. He was going from Wake Forest to Georgia. He was considered a developmental quarterback who probably had fourth round. He had size. He's got some athleticism. Probably a fourth round quarterback. Not only did he not, he say didn't play, and the one time people saw him was at the Senior Bowl. He wasn't good. He missed all that football. It's hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard when you miss all that football. And so, he's a guy that may fall completely out of the draft. Everyone tells me undraftable. I still put a seventh on him, but that really killed him not playing. If he had played at Georgia and played in the SEC and played fairly well, we'd be talking about him in the second or third round with the rest of those quarterbacks. But now he's probably not going to get drafted. And more, and there is a belief around the league that, and I thought this was going to be the case, players are going to opt out of their junior years from now on. Not a ton, but the best players are probably going to opt out of their, a lot of them are going to opt out of football their junior year, and they'll just play 2 years.
Well, that just shows you how much they love the game. If they just don't want to play. Well, I remember there was a big stink about Jadeveon. Why is Jadeveon playing? Why is Jadeveon playing?
Jadeveon is not a love the game guy.
No, he's not. And yet he played. You know, he did play.
He played, but he also protected himself. His numbers weren't great.
Well, you remember
what player you don't. It's
old ball coach said.
Devontae Smith played, and guess what he did? Balled out. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's you either play because you love it or you don't.
Yeah.
You know, and the guys who opt out are going to be, now that there's no COVID, now you're just going to be an opting out of football guy. And the very best players, what are teams going to do? They're still going to draft them. You opt out if you're a second, you treat this like it's a bowl game, you're just going to opt out of the season, and you're a third or fourth round guy, ooh, it's not going to be good. What Colbert said, TJ, I thought was interesting, is he just admitted publicly what guys have said privately is, if two guys are equal, we're taking a guy we got tape on. We're taking a guy that played. I mean, what he's not going to say publicly is that, yeah, you know, some of these guys just wanted to opt out and not play. And you can't say that because you look insensitive to people who were legitimately worried about COVID. Yeah. And there were plenty of them. Remember, it was a pretty scary time. And especially Big Ten and Pac-12 guys, they didn't think they were going to play. They took money from agents. And some of them said, I don't want to give this money back. Or, I can't give this money back. I already got a sweet shark fish tank in my house that I got put up in an aquarium with a shark in it. You can't just take a shark back.
No, what are you going to do with a shark now?
Receipt on a shark. You can't just return a shark.
No.
To Costco.
No.
Costco.
Costco has sharks sometimes.
No, they don't have sharks. They don't sell sharks at Costco.
Not alive, at least.
Oh, look at this guy. Is this my favorite guy right here? Look at all these Coors Lights he's loading up. I love this guy.
What's that guy doing?
I don't know. For whatever reason, John Kreisel is just loading up Coors Lights. Thank you, John Kreisel. 741 ESPN 975 7378 0377 6. You got a draft question for Lance? You're more than welcome to get in here tomorrow. And once again, we're going to be at a Wildcat. Come on by, hang out with us, play. The other course is going to be open, I believe. So we got one of the courses. They got 36 championships holes there. So you can get on over there and play and enjoy the one side. I believe we're on the lake side, and then probably the Highlands will be open. So if you're looking to play, it's supposed to be beautiful out all week, except maybe Thursday, a little bit of rain. But it's a great week to get on out there. It was great to play yesterday. 713-780-3776, 741. I want to talk right now about my peeps over at Chastain Ford. I'm telling you, Joe and Patrick, they are just unbelievable. They are so good. And the Chastains have been doing this forever. They really have. In this city, the Chastain name is it's synonymous with just great people who give you a great product in the Ford cars and trucks. And they do it better than anybody else. And that shows by they're number one in commercial Ford sales in the city of Houston. That just tells you the businesses just trust them. Businesses know there is not any kind of occupation that they haven't customized a van or a truck for. So they know everything that you need. And Patrick had told me, he said, yeah, there's some guys, they wanted this and this. And I said, but dude, we know what you need in your business. And sure enough, they came back and said, oh, you know what? You were right. Here's the deal is you can trust them. You will love the service that they give you. That's one of the huge reasons that businesses do all this business with them is because that their service department is second to none. But it's all about that price, and Chastain Ford is going to get it to you. And they're not going to just add on all kinds of stuff for you because they just don't do that. You want to buy online, you can do it all at ChastainFord.com. You got to get those 2020s off the lot. Go now. Chastain Ford at 610 on Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 744 ESPN 97.5. Ryan's got a draft question. I got a couple of questions for you too, Lance. 713-780-3776. Let's get Ryan in here. What do you say, Ryan? Hey, Ryan, turn your radio down, buddy.
Wow, I can actually hear us.
Yes. Radio. Well, you could. Yeah, you could hear me introducing Ryan on Ryan's telephone.
Yeah, but
call.
He could. It means we can hear his. He can hear our station.
Yes. Thank you. That is that. Now that's a positive. There's a positive.
I kind of cleaned the floor.
Right. Is Ryan back? Ryan, don't listen on the radio.
Yes, I'm here.
All right.
What's up, Ryan?
How you doing today?
Good.
I was calling to ask about the kid from LSU, Lance, Kerry Vincent. What's your take on him, and where do you think he would go in the draft?
Great athlete, getting beat up a little bit in the building at LSU. I'm not sure they're huge fans of his, so that might hurt him. I think he goes in the fourth round. He's talented.
What was his name?
Track speed, Kerry Vincent.
Oh.
Track speed, really, really fast. Had a great workout. Very, very athletic. Like he's talented. He just needs to learn to play the position a little bit better. But he's really talented. I think he goes in the middle rounds. Good size, good athleticism. He's one of those guys that, I mean, frankly, he's one of those guys in the fourth round. If he's there for the Texans, I'm all over him. I'm all over Kerry Vincent if the Texans have a shot in the fourth round, because he's got ability and he's got height, weight, speed, and. So yeah, I think he's a middle round guy, but rumor has it he's getting beat up a little bit by the LSU building, and so if that's the case, it could hurt him a little bit. But we'll see. He ran extraordinarily fast. He's a former track guy.
He's one of the guys who opted out.
Yeah, he's an opt out guy. I think LSU may get in their feelings a little bit when, depending on who you are, if you're a guy they really like and you opt out, they're okay with you. But if you're not one of their guys, or if they have any issues with you and you opt out, it exacerbates things. Like, if they don't really like you that much, but you come back and play for them, they're like, okay, we'll take care of you. But, and I think this is probably a few schools are like that. But if they don't really like you and then you opted out and you kind of screwed them, they're like, okay, we'll see how this goes for you.
Yeah, it's not, like, again, if you're going to be an a-hole, win, right? If you're going to be, you know, Bill O'Brien, you can be a-hole all you want. You better win if you're going to be an a-hole.
It's not my job to do that.
Yes, it is your job. Well, speaking of a-holes.
Which one do you dislike more?
I just hate
more?
Hearing his voice.
No.
Just, you know, what? Because he's so arrogant. Like, just Bill O'Brien's level of arrogance.
I don't really care what you say.
You could do this all day with
you
him.
You can.
I mean, this is what he did.
Hey, screw you, what Bill O'Brien.
Don't make knee-jerk decisions.
Yeah, you do.
I think he was trying to be buddy-buddy with people.
You made knee-jerk decisions all the time. You know what that was in reference to? We don't make knee-jerk decisions.
The Deshaun thing, right?
The Deshaun.
The Tom Savage.
Tom Savage for one half.
Yeah.
We don't make. Yes, you did. It was halftime, and you changed the starting quarterback of your team.
Well, you remember he did that with.
Thanks.
He did that with Ryan Mallett and. Remember with, well, no, not Ryan Mallett. Brock, was it Brock that he did that with, or was it Mallett with when they put Hoyer back in? Remember, he Hoyer out, Hoyer back in. I shouldn't have pulled Hoyer and gone with Mallett. It was with Mallett.
Yeah.
Mallett was spraying the ball all over the place.
And Savage. Savage in one half, Savage was done for the season. The whole training camp, Savage was his
Ryan
starter.
Mallett.
He's our starter. He's our half. He's out.
Ryan Mallett, not a great guy.
Yeah.
By the way. We don't make knee-jerk decisions.
Yeah, you do. Speaking of a-holes, what about this Nick Saban? What about this Nick Saban sound
that
we've been hearing so much about?
Have you heard it yet?
No.
Good. Yeah. So, Dell, if you got it, we'll play it. So, Nick Saban, anytime Nick starts talking about football, I'm mesmerized. The Nick Saban and Bill Belichick documentary that was done, that little quick docu-show, just a single episode, where they get together and talk about football and stuff like that. Remember, they were on the same staff at Cleveland with the Browns. They've been tight for years. There's a history of Belichick taking Saban guys. He trusts them. That's why I always pay attention to guys like Miami, guys who were in New England. I always feel like they're more likely to put their eyes on some Saban guys. That's why a lot of people have Najee Harris potentially going to Miami, because he's a Saban guy. And Saban, if he puts in a good word, then it's going to mean something to Marvin Allen and Chris Greer, two guys in the front office. And your head coach as well, Flores, it's going to mean something to those guys because they were in New England and they know the connection with Nick Saban. Well, anyway, if you get a chance to watch the doc where Saban – And Bill Belichick basically just get mic'd up and they just are in Belichick's house talking, or one of their houses talking, It's so fascinating listening to Nick talk about football. Well, I don't know what the context of this is. I just know Albert Breer has it. And I think he was asked about why is it important to tell NFL teams about the character, or why is it important to that, you know, why is character important, football character? And this is what he had to say.
Well, again, this goes back to players creating value for themselves. I always talk to players about, you know, I spent 8 years in the NFL, so that means I sat through 8 drafts, which meant it's not just a draft. It's 2 weeks of preparing for the draft, and then 2 more weeks of getting questions answered, and then 2 more weeks of preparing for the draft. So I'm talking about listening to 1,000 draft reports. And I tell our players all the time, the 2 most compelling words in a draft report is and but. All right, so they read the player, and I'll take a defensive back. All right, he's got quick feet, change of direction, he has good long speed, can play man-to-man, he's a good tackler, he's got toughness, he's got really good ball judgment and really good ball skills, and he's a good person. He was a leader on the team. He graduated from school. Coaches loved him. Read the same player, but he had a positive drug test. He had a domestic violence incident with his girlfriend. Got in a fight in a bar when he was a freshman. Strength coach said he wouldn't piss on him if he was on fire. Who do you want on your team? And or but? All right, so what I tell players is you don't realize that as soon as you apply for a job, as soon as you put your name in for the draft, people are looking for reasons not to pick you. They're looking for reasons not to hire you. So don't give anybody a reason to say but. It's the only way that you can create value for yourself. So that and but, what came after that had nothing to do with what the player was, but it had a significant impact on where the player got picked. So this is an analogy that I use all the time with players to try to get them to understand, how do I create value for myself in my future for what I want to accomplish? And it goes right back to, yeah, I might have to edit my behavior a little bit.
Good stuff. That's really good stuff.
And it's, I mean, it's true. When you break it down like that, it's, are you an and guy? But like, for example, John Granato, right, shows
and
up to
guy.
Work.
And
shows
guy.
Up to Dell, shows up to work on time, all the time. Generally focuses
and,
during the show.
And
he's a guy who engages with the sales staff and goes out and does things like that. But.
And he's all, and
you can't write your own report.
Yes.
No, you don't get to write your own report.
But he flies out of here, because he's got to get to a golf course, drinks. Sometimes will come in years past. Sometimes he's a guy. Hey, listen, he's a guy. Sometimes is going to come in and you can still smell the Coors Light. All right. Especially Super Bowl week.
This morning.
All right.
Maybe this morning.
You have to accommodate around his schedule. He rarely accommodates others.
He helps the sales staff. Go play golf with sales staff. He helps the sales staff. All right. But then he makes it harder to sell product when he says inappropriate stuff about the advertiser on the air. Right?
Well, that's happened.
Well, that has happened.
I mean,
and he says inappropriate things.
He has great relationships.
And helps interns.
He gives
interns jobs, finds jobs. Although my one intern, Colin, he already left Nick Scherfield because he's like...
Now you've ruined the relationship with Nick
Scherfield.
He works
in New York now to bigger and better things. This guy's like... I'm like, hey, you could have just stayed in Houston. This is... Nick
Scherfield's really?
Good. He's like, I'm in a... Yeah, he's like making chunks of money now.
In New York? You better make chunks of money.
Yeah.
You better.
You know what chunks of money become in New York?
Yeah.
Small, tiny little...
Tiny
pile.
Did you get... How many interns have you gotten jobs?
Mary. I helped her.
Did you
get... Will Doctor came in here and said something about a job, too. Did you get him a job, too?
No. Will Doctor?
Yeah.
That was me.
Oh, you got him
I got him.
Okay. Well, it was his job. doing your radio show when you're out? That's yeah. not a job.
That's well, oh, are you
that's
kidding?
Doing your work.
Are you
that's
kidding?
Why you're a butt
oh,
guy.
You think an intern doesn't want to do a radio show?
But is
okay, I'm not pretty sure that's what they're here for.
Is it a job or is it volunteer work? Is it a job or volunteer work?
It's a job. He's going to get paid for it.
Well, okay, then that's a job.
That's a job.
That's not.
That's your damn right. It's a job.
Yeah, if he's getting paid, it's a job.
Yeah, that's right.
What are you arguing about?
Is it a job or is it a day?
It's
well, he does it multiple times.
Did you get that on your resume? You get to host the show when you were an intern?
No, we don't
okay,
do.
Thanks.
I'm sorry. We don't do
I'm pretty
unpaid
sure
stuff.
You walked.
We
you
don't
walked
do unpaid
in.
Stuff, and we don't do.
But you did a lot of unpaid stuff.
Yeah, but
you do. Stuff.
You don't do it anymore. I also got yelled at for saying that. I did a lot of unpaid stuff, and guess what? Then the internet
oh,
screamed
yeah.
at me and like, unpaid stuff is terrible.
No one wants to hear no, about your unpaid stuff.
Oh. Remember, I got screamed
oh,
at
yeah,
by
you,
the
you,
internet.
You guess
and
what?
Jay, and I think Jane Slater may have had her life threatened about
guess
that.
Guess what, internet? Guess what? You shut up. And you don't know what you're talking
okay,
about, internet.
You do not want this with the internet.
I agree with the internet. No one wants to hear. I don't want to hear your stories about your unpaid jobs.
Two things.
I was an unpaid intern. I don't tell those stories. They
two
suck.
Things that the internet does not want to hear that you will find out. As a matter of fact, I dare you to make a post, and I'll retweet it with eyeballs. And these are the two things. One, make fun of esports. Like, how can anyone just watch other people play video games? Do that. Or do unpaid internships are a valuable part of growing as a person.
Or their exploitation.
And headed towards your best goal, and it can be really good for you. Make either one of those posts.
Yeah.
Or both. Let me retweet it, and then tell me, and then I guess you could just mute your conversation, but that's the fun's gone when that
But
happens.
He has yeah. to also attack anyone who believes that is exploitation. He has to throw a little
yeah.
extra in
and
there,
then
too.
And then at the end, just go, and Justin Fields is first in, last out. Like, do all
oh
three
my
of those.
God.
One.
Don't do
that. Do one
well,
post with
I'm
all
getting,
three.
I'm getting a lot of Deshaun as a butt guy. Okay.
But wait, how does this come
but,
up?
But that's two. I don't think and Nick Saban butt, put two and, T's
yeah,
on that
it was
butt.
A B-U-T.
Oh, no, that's heartbreaking.
That's two
They're
T's.
They're using that against Deshaun saying he's a butt guy?
Yeah, not Dan Holland. Granato is a butt guy and a butt guy.
Uh-huh.
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
We're going to
yeah.
do that butt thing. He does
John is
that
last
song.
Guy in. No, John is first guy in.
Actually, if you John,
first guy first in, first guy out. Yeah.
First guy in,
first
guy out.
Yeah, first in, first out.
Right.
You don't hear that one often.
Nope.
But you'd be okay. You know, first in, first out. I was like, yeah, but at least he's first in.
Right. I'm first in. I'm not last guy in. I'm first guy in and first guy out. That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Lance is last guy in, first
I'm
guy
last,
out.
I'm last and last.
Not on this show, you're not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I am. I stay here at the station.
No, on this show, you're last guy in, first
I
guy
do-
out.
I'm not first out. You always say you kick me out every day. I try to stay and you
kick
me out.
That's not true. In fact, I think you stay 30 minutes longer than you really want to.
You usually do.
Yes.
You're usually out as soon as possible.
Yeah.
757 ESPN.
I don't have
don't
that's,
dab.
Well,
by the way, don't dab when
don't,
we say
no
that.
Dabbing.
I just dab, guys. I did radio dabs.
First to dab. That's he's first.
Oh, yeah, I'm always first to dab.
But he dabs all the time.
Yeah. No, he's definitely a buddy dabs all the time.
But he dabs all the time. Okay.
It's not, I'm a man guy.
You're
couple
not
of butt guys over here.
Lance and Dell are jealous. That's exactly
jealous
right.
Of what?
Jealous of me.
Jealous of what?
Jealous of
what?
You. Thank you, John. Thank
what am
you.
I jealous of?
Exactly right. That's exactly
what are we
the
jealous
thing.
Of?
Yeah, you can't just say that. What are we jealous of?
First guy in, first guy out. That's what you're
jealous
of.
I'm not Jack Easterby butt guy. Nice. Jack Easterby loves Jesus, wants good character, will pray for you, has a lot of, mm-hmm. you know, wants to help you in your journey to find yourself, but we'll stab you in the back. We'll try to end your job.
Right, one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying?
Well,
loves different.
But, we'll
you know what I'm saying?
Tells jokes. Can code.
Not
what's
really.
That called? Code shift.
I don't know whose corner your
talks.
Dabs or his
code,
jokes.
Code what?
Hey, code talking. What is it? What is it? I don't even know what it is.
It's
it code
one
talking?
Of the new phrases that have.
I forgot what
there's
it's called.
A new one called mental divergence. I think when you. There's new words that are. It's something code switch. Code switch.
Code switch.
That's
yeah.
what it is. Code switch. That's just Jack was just code switch, and he was with a little more urban crowd. And he's like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Crip walking,
too. You know what I'm saying? Get up on that. Yeah.
Yo, what's up, train?
Hey, I'm fixing to go to the store. Y'all fixing to go, too? All right, dude. back. Give me 50 feet.
That was worse than the one fish, two fish.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was cringy.
Crip walking was worse.
Crip walking was worse. 759 ESPN 97.5. You know what's better? Having insurance.
Well, so having insurance, not just having insurance. I expect you to have insurance, but many of you have insurance with the same company you've had for 10 years. I can tell you this. your first instinct is going to be to vomit when you get the text back from TGS Insurance that says, oh, we can do your homeowner's insurance for this amount of money. And when you realize how much money you have thrown away for the last decade because you have not been shopping your homeowner's insurance, you will be sick. And then you will say, you know what? At least I can start saving today. At least I can save thousands today. And that's what many people are doing. They save into the $1,000 range, into the four figures, whenever they switch over to TGSinsurance.com, one of their insurances that they rep. They aggregate A-rated insurance companies. And when you text the word money to 232323, you are going to see a quick response, and you are going to find out just how much that homeowner's insurance is going to cost you. And odds are it's going to be substantially less than what you're paying right now. TGSinsurance.com, text the word money to 232323.
Well, hello.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more.